The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
AFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance live at the Bad Pants Open, being joined right now by the head coach of your Houston Cougars, Major Applewhite, with us every Thursday. He couldn't last week because he was playing on Thursday night. Beat Tulsa by 14. I would have preferred it was by 19, but that's okay. He is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, John?
Man, we are doing awesome, Coach. We're out here at a beautiful golf course, Coach. You don't get to do that kind of stuff because you're a little bit busy. So talk about the Thursday night game. Talk about the atmosphere. Talk about playing and, you know, being in the spotlight.
Yeah, Thursday night game, obviously happy to come away with a win, but didn't start off as fast as we wanted to. Did some uncharacteristic things in terms of turning the ball over the first quarter and a half. Got into halftime, fortunately, with a lead, even as poorly as we may have played. And, you know, kind of regrouped, sputtered coming out in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, I think we played our best team ball of the year.
You know, I got to ask you something, because this has come up with some NFL scouts that I've talked to who we talk about your defensive tackle, Ed Oliver. Obviously, that's, you know, he's a name that comes up. And everyone's kind of curious about, I know he has no sacks this year. He has 6.5 tackles for losses. And the question always comes up about strategy of playing him at the 0 or the 1 right there over the center. As opposed to what he'll probably be on the next level, which is out there wide at the 3 technique, playing in space. Can you talk about that? I'm curious about what you guys see when you start, because I got to think he's going to take all the attention. Does that open things up for everyone else along the line, or what goes into that with playing him right there at that spot?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do based on their protection in terms of leaving their center occupied. You know, also having him on the tail end of the slide, you know, as opposed to having tackle or center help as a 3 technique, being able to slide the front, but being able to have him on the end of the slide and anchor the slide, be able to come back across the guard's face because we move so much. And you know, having him at a true 0 nose, if you're in some kind of max coverage, he's still trying to find some type of game that he can run to get loose. But most of what we do with him at a 0 shade is we're moving our front. We're slanting our front. We're blitzing. And that's where Ed's best, when he can get on an edge and press someone. Sometimes when you get in a 3 technique, they can slide because you've declared yourself pre-snap, so they can slide to you. But we have things in our third down pass rush stuff that when we know we're in throwing situations where we can put him at a 3 technique. We can let him run games with a 5 technique come free. We can let him take a guard one-on-one if they're not going to slide their protection, which isn't going to happen very often. But there's a lot of things, like you mentioned, Lance, that go into it. And, you know, one of it is what the offense is doing, how they're protecting. You know, the other is how quick are they getting the ball out. We don't want to be wasting time on games if people are throwing the ball quickly. We want to be able to penetrate and get upfield quickly and disrupt the passers. So there's a lot of things that play into that.
I want to ask what Ed's capable of. And the reason I ask that is because I think he's probably capable of a lot of things that you know of from seeing him in practice that we won't even see in terms of, you know, sometimes I wonder, could Ed play? He's such an amazing athlete. I wonder if he could stand up and play an outside linebacker spot in the edge off a 3-4. I wonder if he could, you know, be a fullback. I wonder what Ed is capable of doing, even if he's not going to do it in games, thanks to his athleticism and rare athletic talent.
Yeah, he's capable of doing a lot. I mean, and we all know that. I think sometimes, you know, you want to put a lot of things in when you have a great player like that. You want to have a lot of different ways to attack people. And then there does come a point, you know, eventually there comes a point as a coach where this is great for him, but can the other four guys on the court, can the other 10 guys on the field, can they make the adjustments? This is what we want to do with this player, but it's going to require this player to do this. And, you know, does that create a weakness in what we're doing? But, you know, that's what you have to do as a coach. You have to find that balance. Hey, this gives us more of a competitive advantage than this hurts us, so we need to feature this player this way.
Major Applewhite with us here on ESPN 97.5. Man, looking at the – I know it's early. You just got one game in conference so far. Most everybody else has a couple games in already, Coach. Three ranked teams in the AAC. Only two conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, have more ranked teams than the AAC. It's saying something, isn't it?
We're a competitive league. We are. We are a competitive league. We've got a lot of really good coaches and really good players, very competitive league. But I'm not going to waste much time talking about rankings in week five, week six. You know what I mean?
No, but it does say something about where the AAC is, let's say, versus Mountain West or versus – I mean, let's face it, you're playing in what's basically a Power Five conference, aren't you?
I believe so. I mean, I believe it's – You know, I don't know if our upper end teams are as strong as some other conferences' upper end teams. I don't know that. You know, that's got to be played out on the field. But I do know our conference from top to bottom, more than any conference I've ever coached in, whether it's the Big East, the SEC, the Big 12. Your top can beat your bottom, and your bottom can beat your top. I mean, this is one of those types of leagues this year, even more so than last year. 15, I didn't think we were. I thought we were, you know, top heavy league. I thought there were some really poor teams in the league. 16, it got a little bit more competitive. 17, it was very competitive. And this year, I mean, it's anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. You better be on your A game.
You guys, in three of your next four are on the road. You go back-to-back road, East Carolina at Navy. Then you've got South Florida at home, and they're one of those ranked teams Sean was talking about. And then you go to SMU. The challenges of – you play it one game at a time, but you've been through this before. Talk about the challenges of having – those road games stacked up like that over a 4-week period?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's one of those things you have to sit down as a staff and you look at during the off season, and you know, you come up with your best plan, and this is the way we would like to attack this in terms of trying to get to this week fresh, with getting this preparation and this practice time in. You know, these are the things that we would, you know, like to have on our schedule, when we're going to practice, have, you know, all those type of things, and then you've got to monitor your team as the season goes along. But ultimately, I mean, championships are won on the road. Conference championships are won on the road. And that's where you've got to, you know, win your big games on the road. It's difficult in somebody else's stadium, their crowd noise, yada, yada. So that's the ultimate. I mean, I know it sounds like a coach cliche, but that's the reality of it. And we're worried about East Carolina. We're focused on East Carolina. But we understand there's, you know, three or four more trips that we've got to make, and we've got to play well when we go on the road.
Yeah. What do you – okay, let's talk about East Carolina and Herring and Scott and these guys, what they're gonna give you offensively.
Well, but, you know, both of these quarterbacks are gonna play. They may even play a Fetty, you know, the third one. They've had open competition this week. You know, Herring, number 9, he's more of a passer, but you know, can run the ball. Ehlers or Ehlers, number 12, can run. He's a 235-pound, you know, quarterback. You know, kind of similar to what you saw with Ellinger the other day. He can hammer the ball. But they're going to both be able to do some of the same things. So they're not going to be as obvious when one's in the game. But they do a great job on offense. Scotty does a great job mixing it up. Defensively, they're vastly improved from last year. They made a change last year defensively, and this year they're playing much more sound ball. They're in the right place. They're making plays. They're creating TFLs, sacks. So we've got to continue to protect the passer. And it's going to be a great environment. I mean, this is a school that's, you know, averaging about 45,000 people at their stadium every weekend, and you know, they're supportive. They love their program, and it's going to be a great atmosphere to go play in at 6 o'clock.
You mentioned Well, you got to watch the game, huh? How would you think of your Horns beating the Sooners?
Oh, it was an unbelievable game. I mean, honestly, third quarter, I started getting up and moving about the house, doing things, being more of a husband and father than just a football guy. And then I saw the tide starting to turn a little bit in the fourth quarter and then got glued back into it.
Yeah, it was. I was at that game. It was. It was really. I thought that. I don't want to get too far into Texas, Oklahoma. We're talking Cougs, but I mean, when I watch games, I like to look at the flow of things, and I love watching scheme. And I thought, you tell us, you were there on the staff with Todd Orlando when you guys faced off an upset on Thursday night, Lamar Jackson in Louisville. I thought I saw some of the same stuff going on. Kyler Murray got a little hot in the fourth quarter, but. I wondered if you take from 2 or 3 years ago, like Todd Orlando could have, and take old game plans, and maybe you as an offensive coordinator and play caller too, if you take old game plans versus opponents that are like or have like players and try to throw some of the old things from 2 or 3 years ago at a team now.
Yeah, you'll pull from them. You know, how much you pull from them, obviously, you know, like you said, Lance, I mean, when you're talking about a guy that can move around the pocket and all that, I'm sure there were some elements of that game plan. At the same time, you know, there's a different set of wideouts that, you know, that Kyler's throwing to versus Lamar. There's a different set of backs and different personnel. So you probably don't take it, you know, completely and just say, all right, you know, add and insert game plan. You take elements of it. But, you know, that's just kind of what we do with coaches. You may go back and just get a laundry list of things that, you know, hey, here was a trick play that really worked well against this type of front, or, you know, here was a great third down play against these teams that like to play man in this certain way, and you will pick and pull from past game plans. That's what you do. I mean, it's amazing the conversations you hear in defensive staff rooms and offensive staff rooms with people who've worked together for a long time. You know, just with Coach Clements and Coach Bryles on our offensive staff. I mean, you'll hear. Remember in 10 when we played Iowa State? You know, I mean, that was 8 years ago. So, you know, they're pulling up ideas from their memory bank.
Yeah, and I felt bad for Lamar that night. That different offensive line, because the Cougs dominated.
Oh, my God. What a beating
that was. It was a beating.
I mean, complete and total domination. I tell you, I was at the I was also at the game. You were on the sideline for the Paxton Lynch game when Memphis came into town. You were on the staff there. That was such a fun game, too, and Paxton came back. I'm telling you, watching the game on campus – with the Cougs. I know you're going to be on the road, but I just want to let everyone know that is, I really like that venue. I really like it's close. It's cozy. That, to me, that's the way that you like. Look, if you're going to have people fill out 100,000 in a stadium, that's great. But if not, I like stadiums that are cozier, that really have that feel like you are on top of the action. And I really like the way that the stadium has been configured in that way.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a Coliseum feel. I mean, it's down there. It's tight. It's not too tight on the sidelines, so you can operate as a team and a staff. But you know, it's there's a lot of great seats in the house, obviously. But it's very intimate. The players feel it as a coach. You know, you've been in a lot of stadiums yourself as a coach. It's rare that you can have a stadium that feels that intimate. But it's also right downtown. You got a great view of the city. It's unique for sure.
Yeah, I usually sit with Holly and Mike Holly and John Loughran over there, and we're by the student section. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, no, that has kicked it up, Coach. They really have kicked it up from, you know, back in the old days with the old stadium. This student section is alive.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've always been that way. Since I got here in 15, Tennessee Tech, when I walked up the tunnel for the first time in 15, they've always been behind us, always been there. Whether you're making a run for a conference championship in 15 or you've just lost to SMU in 16 and you're coming home to play Central Florida or Tulane, I mean, they have always, always been there.
And, I don't think it's ever been about the students. It's about getting the other.
Players and coaches don't think about that or notice that.
Yeah, no.
I think it's about getting alumni to keep coming out, because the students have been behind. I think the students have been a pretty good force for a while now. I give them a lot of credit at U of H.
Absolutely.
And it's, you guys have really done a good job. Hey, to get people out to the stadium, you need to win. And you guys have been consistent winners now for a while at University of Houston. This is,
well, we've got,
you know, David,
you know, it's difficult early in the season, you know, but as we get to, you know, back home in a couple of weeks and we've got some night games, they're not on a Thursday night where people are working. They're not at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. The weather's good. Like Texas Southern was a torrential downpour. 11 o'clock kick against Arizona, Thursday night game against Texas Southern. You know, here in a couple weeks when we have a Saturday game at 7 o'clock with a conference opponent, I know we've got great fans and great alumni. It'll be packed, and you know our job is just go out there and make sure that we play well in North Carolina and get a win and bring it back and then get ready for the next one.
Yeah, well, no, we can look ahead. You can't, but that South Florida game is losing is looming very large right now.
Tulsa jumped on you early, and it's a wake-up call now. When a team jumps on you quick, you got to realize, all right, let's buckle up, and you guys did that in the second half. Now you got to jump on them early on the road against East Carolina. We wish you the best of luck this week, Major.
Hey, guys, I appreciate y'all having me on. Go Cougs.
All right, thanks, Major Coach. Applewhite, every week right here on ESPN 97.5.
I'm dying to ask him so many questions about, because you know that, I mean, Texas, Oklahoma, that's the way I'm supposed to say it, is, that's a huge rival game.
Major, OU and Texas University.
It's called Texas and Oklahoma, if you have a wife who went to, do you ever say Alabama and LSU?
I don't.
You don't even think about it, probably.
I don't say that. I don't care.
I don't know. I was just told the rules before for my wife.
I call it Texas University, okay?
Ooh. I don't, wife. So anyway.
Because
I'm sure he's just like anybody, just like, you know, a guy who went like Harbaugh watched Michigan, Ohio State when he was at Stanford. I'm sure it's a big deal to Major watching Texas and Oklahoma play.
Yeah.
And plus, as a college football fan, that was a great game.
Yeah.
That was a tremendous game.
Oh, my God. It was the best game of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was awesome. That was the best game. No question. All right. 713-780-3776, 815.
It would have been the worst game for me if Texas had blown that lead. I would have been like, I'm sitting in the stands looking at Chris Solis, who's next to me, and I said, this can't end in a loss for me. This just can't end in a loss. Because I'm the one that texted to my wife, you owe Tom Herman an apology.
Ooh.
I always like to do that when Texas wins. After she was a little salty early in the year, I'm like, are you ready to apologize to Coach Herman and Coach Orlando?
Coach Herman.
I did that in the third quarter. I did that in third quarter when they were up 21.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, no.
Yikes.
And then she goes, apologize for what? For blowing this game? I'm like, I was just put her on that. You know how you can go to the information and then you can turn, I said, turn off notifications
mute?
From this person.
You muted her?
Well, it still comes through. You just don't feel the vibrations. I just got a text.
All right, time to be talk about getting strong, Lance.
Well, I'm assuming you're going to talk about my friends over at Men's Tea Clinic.
Yes.
I went over and got strong yesterday. Took you go in, you get on a scale, they monitor your weight, see where you're going, because they want to know if you're, you know, a lot of times you're losing weight. Actually, a lot of times getting on that scale is fun because you see your weight keeps coming down. When you first get started, you're going to feel a burst of energy within the first 3 days, usually it is. And that energy is going to be like, whoa. I mean, I've got energy to do a lot of – you'll find that you can do some later in the afternoon, later in the evening workouts without any problem where you used to be gassed. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to start to notice that you have that energy to keep doing that. You're going to get motivated, and you'll start to see – it usually takes – sometimes about 2 months, 3 months to start seeing the big differences in your body type where you are retaining muscle mass better. You're starting to eliminate some of that belly fat. Now, obviously, with anything, if you eat better and you do some working out, you're going to see results. But when you have your testosterone level back to where it was when you were in your 20s and 30s, well, guess what? Your results are going to be similar as well for your workouts and your. I talked to somebody just yesterday who said, yeah, you know, I eat the same and work out the same. It's just not the same for me. And I told this guy, I'm like, yeah, it could be a testosterone issue. It's actually normal for over 33% of the men who are approaching or over the age of 40. If you're one of those guys and you say, I don't have the same drive, more of a couch potato now, I want to get back to having that energy and that go-go in my life, then make sure that you go to Men's Tea Clinic. MensTeaClinic.com. There are four locations in and around the Houston area, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and, of course, the Heights. At 1801 Durham, it's MensTeaClinic.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance live at the Bad Pants Open, Texas Children's Hospital. The Neonatal Center is what is benefiting here. So that's pretty cool.
Same beneficiary. for...
Brought to you by RBC Wealth Management. That's where Les Fox works. Mm-hmm.
Is this, year number 16?
20 years?
18? I think it's. I don't think it's 20. I think it's maybe
bad
18.
Bad pencil. Well, it says 20.
Oh, has it been 20?
It says
okay.
20. Yeah, it was probably 98.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 99. Year after we started.
99, this would be the 20th year.
So, the Astros are still a couple days out. I wish it was going. Not today, because today I've got some stuff. My wife's grandmother passed away, so I'm going to head up for the rosary and stuff like that today, and then tomorrow's a funeral. But really just I can't wait to see these two teams play. I'm so excited. I likened it to last year when the Warriors and Rockets, because you knew the Rockets were like, okay, Warriors, come get some this year. Because in years past it felt like, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be awfully hard to beat the Warriors. Last year I felt like, ooh, this is a fair fight. These are two Titans that are going to be playing here, and it's the same thing with the Astros and Indians. This is really a
– Astros and Red Sox.
I mean, Red Sox. Astros-Indians was a blowout. This is really a great, great series. They both have – well, you have Chris Sale, who's the best – probably the best lefty in the game, most dominant lefty in the game. I mean, Kershaw, when he's on, is certainly devastating, but Chris Sale's been pretty damn – yeah. Skippy for about five straight years now.
Kershaw.
But Kershaw's not even the number one in his team right now.
Well,
not necessarily.
He didn't start game one. But
of course, if you had to pick one game,
him or Ryu, who are you going to take?
You go with Kershaw. Yeah. I mean, they tried to last year against the Astros, and what happened?
Got his ass handed. Oh. Well, no, they started.
He didn't beat him the second game that he faced him.
No, he didn't beat him.
First game, he was pretty. Good against the Astros.
Yeah.
Game one.
No, but the second game.
Yeah. What happened there? Unbeatable Clayton Kershaw. Really? Because they chased him is what they did. The Astros chased. They said, beat it, Kershaw. That's what they did. That was the big – that was game five when Kershaw pitched. The game that lasted yeah. 7 hours.
Yeah. And Yuli took him deep.
Yeah.
And
Astros ruined
but
him,
But then
too.
They really beat Chinito. That was how they won it. I mean, they beat him. They beat the snot out of him twice.
Because he was tipping the pitchers.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, good night.
Guess who found, and by the way, guess who?
Alex Cora.
Yeah, Alex Cora was the guy that was able to
Alex
find
Cora.
Pitch. No, but this is a true story for those who don't know it. Alex Cora, they say, on the bench, could find things with catchers where they were tipping pitches based on their footwork. There were little things that he would find. And he was a big, big part of finding those tip pitches. And so I can tell you this. There's been a panic with Dallas Keuchel throughout the year that he's been tipping pitches. He's been concerned about it. Did you read the other day where he was talking about the fact that, or I think it may have been Jake Kaplan said that they were very concerned about whether or not he was tipping pitches. And that's one of the reasons McCann kept coming out there, that there was a little bit of a, it looked like there was an issue with communication or being on the same page, but it might have been more about worrying about tip pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, against Alex Cora and the Red Sox, oh, my gosh.
Do not.
They're going to be exceedingly careful with how they handle things.
Do not do that because Alex Cora will find it out. I don't think that there's any question about that. What did you think of Jimmy Butler's act yesterday?
I didn't think much of it. I know a lot of people love it because they just love mass hysteria and he intentionally came in. He found time to sit down with, I think it was Josina Anderson, to explain his side of the story after this practice. Well, how do you think that happens that fast? Where there's issues in practice, he has a vehicle to go talk about it on something that will get on ESPN, on SportsCenter. This is all constructed by him and his agent. You go in there, you immediately cause problems with the two best players on the team, you immediately go after management, immediately go after the general manager, which he did, and you make it so uncomfortable that they have to trade you. This is a plan that he's going to make it as uncomfortable as possible. So he went on practice number one and with a flamethrower and just started going after everybody. And why do you think he's doing that? Because he's trying to push his way out of there. And I think it may end up being successful. I really do. Because Tom Thibodeau, I don't care if Tom Thibodeau wants to keep him for basketball reasons. If Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be there and is going to be a professional a-hole, they're going to have to move him.
Well, he apparently took the third teamers and beat the snot out of everybody.
Yeah.
And
said, no, I love the basketball part of it.
Screaming at the general manager, you bleeping need me, you effing need me, you effing need me up in the stands. You know, I don't know that they do trade him, if you want to know the truth. That maybe he's going to be angry, Jimmy, and he's going
How do you make him happy then? Because if he's going to be a pain and fighting with Carl Anthony Towns, who you just – like, how can you have that in your locker room? It's going to be a bad locker room.
Yeah.
You can't have a bad locker room.
Yeah.
82 games?
I don't know. Well, Andrew Wiggins – what did Dell – Andrew Wiggins at the end high-fived him, right?
he dapped him up, but Jimmy isn't a fan of Andrew Wiggins either.
No.
The story – was Cat had Jimmy down on the post, and Jimmy goes, you can't do nothing against me. And eventually Cat passed the ball out to prove Jimmy's point. Jimmy's not a fan of either of the two young cornerstones of that team. And I don't know. Some players like what Butler did. Some other players are, like, shocked and, like, shook up. And apparently Cat, after practice, tried to huddle everyone together because Jimmy Butler left practice early after doing what he did. He tried to huddle everybody up and go, just keep your heads. And it kind of felt soft and mute. And it fell on deaf ears pretty much. It didn't hit home. So, I don't know how you allow Jimmy Butler hang around if he's just going to humiliate your franchise player, the one you just paid $190 million to.
People are going to start losing a lot of respect for Carl Anthony Towns.
here's the thing in today's NBA. If you build it around Cat, you ain't winning nothing.
Well, but at the same time, you've already made that decision. You're not building against Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't want to be there.
And
you're not building it against around him.
Who was it that left that talked about how Andrew Wiggins is just that's all he does. He's just
soft.
A waste. And soft. Not a hard worker. Last year, he got into the little Twitter deal with somebody.
God, who was that?
Well, I know he was at him and Steven Jackson had their issue this season.
No, that was, I think that was this year where Steven Jackson was calling him out.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I think that's what it was.
Wasn't there somebody
you
else?
Don't want, and by the way, you don't want it with Steven Jackson either.
No, I don't want.
Port Arthur's
best. I don't
want
Steven
Jackson
in my kitchen. No.
Nope.
No, I don't want any
and
part
frankly,
of that.
You don't want Jimmy Butler either. You see some of the gifts?
Yeah.
Did you see some of the stuff that came out, the memes that were out there, like training day? Oh, okay. When it was Denzel with everyone's around him. I can't say it on the mic anyway. But
no.
Yeah. They had the training day stuff. They had the gift of the guy. You've seen the one, Dell, with the guy who looks like kind of like a homeless guy who's out there screaming. Somebody's filming it from the second floor, and he's just yelling at somebody. And it was like, I'll fight all you.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. And so Jimmy Butler beat like a – I saw one with Kill Bill just kicking everyone's ass.
I mean, oh, that – you know who that is? That's John Clay Wolfe kicking everybody's ass in the
in
the car buying business.
Okay.
I don't know. That's what he do.
Maybe so.
Okay.
Maybe
that's what John Clay Wolfe do. And John Clay Wolfe says, I will give – you know why he kicks everybody? Who else is buying 2,000 cars a month? That's John Clay Wolfe. I mean, he had an unbelievable – that's what he said. He said 2,000. How do you buy – there isn't enough time in the day to buy 2,000 cars. And then what do you do with them? My God. Does he just throw them away? I think he probably just throws them away. He's unbelievable, this guy. And he's just buying cars. He just – okay, I'll give you the most for it, whatever. How much you want, whatever. I'll give you the most. Here's what I'll give you for. Well, nobody else is offering that. That's right. That's right.
Is he here?
Oh, we got John Clay Wolfe with us. Oh, I didn't know he was on. What's up, John Clay Wolfe?
Not much. It was funny. I hung up on a conference call we were on when I saw that it was you, because I know I miss you a lot of the times. If you call me before 7:30, a lot of times I don't answer. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Well, yeah, because you're probably sleeping or having relations or something.
I really do work until about 12:30, 1 in the morning every night, trying to keep up with all this stuff. So I don't, you know, I at least try to sleep till 8. But anyway, we were doing our conference call this morning, and I was yelling at all the guys because they were back. The market's changing. The values come down this time of year. And they've been, you know, being real conservative, my buyers. And you can't do that. You just got to have some balls, and you just got to buy them. And if you're going to lose, you're going to lose. But a lot of times, if you buy enough of it and you just take it all, you're gonna win enough to make it work out. And that's really what we do. We've had some bad days at the auction.
you know, profits sucked, but you got to own that stuff to make any money with it. And I would rather do it for free than not do it at all, because when the wind picks up and the storm's clear, then you've got all these customers and all this good equity and brand built that you will benefit from.
You see that? John Clay Wolf went Jimmy Butler on his team and said, stop being a bunch of wussies. Yeah? How you like that? Start buying some cars right now at GiveMeTheVin.com.
Give it's fourth me and one, and VIN. We ain't going to punt, bitch. We're going to go for it.
Oh, you are if you're
too
in
late.
Dallas.
Too
you
late.
Are if you're in Dallas.
Too late.
GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. Dallas is all our bitches. Because you walking out in public.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here live at the Bad Pants Open. John and Lance being joined right now by a couple of committee members. Moose Rosenfeld and Adam Law joining us here. Moose has been from the get-go with yeah. Mike Armstrong and who else?
Michael Wiesenthal.
Michael Wiesenthal. Well,
yeah.
Harold.
Yeah.
And Harold Wiesenthal.
Yeah.
Harold in the Heights. And that's why it started, right? Because of Harold's. Let's get rid of some of these crappy pants we got.
Actually, we did a client trip every year to Los Cabos, Mexico. And in 1996, I had an idea for Bad Pants Open, and I presented it to Mike Armstrong and to Michael Wiesenthal, Michael with Trulux at the time, Mike Armstrong with Trulux, mm-hmm. and Michael, of course, with Harold's in the Heights, and they both were in. And I was like, okay, great, who's going to be the beneficiary? So Mike Armstrong, to his credit, said, you know what, I had a neighbor that just – their daughter just got out of Texas Children's. Let's talk to them. I said, great. So we met the hospital. We said we're looking for a long-term relationship, a long-term beneficiary to you guys. And they said, we're in. 21 years later, here we are.
That's awesome.
And anyway, it's a crazy idea I had back at the other radio station.
Yeah.
So I was listening to you guys on the way out here this morning. And you're right, Dickie Rosenfeld, my dad, mm-hmm. an amazing radio guy. And he did bring the Beatles. He did bring mm-hmm. Elvis, and he got you guys,
that's
John
right.
and Lance. So y'all are, as he would say, y'all are in high cotton.
Yeah, he was putting Hudson and Harrod
yeah.
with us.
Yeah,
come on, that's
unbelievable.
Weak. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
And you are a committee member now. Have you've used this too? No,
this is my first year on the committee.
Uh-huh.
I've got 18-month-old twins who got out of a NICU last April.
So you firsthand know how important this is.
This is an incredible cause. I played in the tournament while my wife was pregnant with twins, and I got to experience the benefits of this great organization firsthand, and knew right away it was something I wanted to be a part of.
So when your kids are in there, it can't be a scarier thing. And yet when you go through Texas Children's, we've done the tour, and we've seen it, and we've been there. It's like, holy cow, these people are really smart. So
that's the truth.
You do feel, I mean, while it's still a heart-wrenching situation when your kids are in there, you're like, well, I got the best right here.
Exactly. You're in the most helpless, hopeless situation in the entire world, and you look around and realize you're surrounded at the people that are the very best at what they do. And if your kids are going to have to go through that, there's not a place in the world they'd rather be. I'd rather them be.
Yeah. And a lot of the money, I mean, not a lot of the money from there because that's just a huge place, but this has definitely, over 21 years, how do you have any idea how much money?
Yeah, exactly. This year we hope to surpass $7 million net.
Wow.
Which is totally unreal. It took us 10 years to raise $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 4 years to raise a second million, and now we're on a 2.5-year run rate.
$7 million. That probably buys one x-ray machine these days. But, no, obviously you can do a lot with $7 million. And they have. This is they buy equipment, research, all kinds of stuff with this money.
Correct.
Yeah.
Every year the hospital meets with a committee, and they say, we need this amount of money to go to
this
particular project. And we're looking at each other going, okay, great.
Yeah.
I will say that they built a Woodlands Pavilion, the hospital at the Woodlands, and that just recently opened up. And our committee, the Bad Pants Open Committee, dedicated $1 million to help fund a 14-bed NICU up there. We're doing $200,000 a year for 5 years.
And if it weren't for that, they would not have a NICU. I'm really, really proud of that.
So, and the thing about this is, I mean, it's just grown that you know you're going to get that $200,000 every year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, because of how great it is and what this is. You played, and when you were playing, you had no idea you would need this.
You know, it's kind of you play and you get excited about the cause because it's a good cause.
Yeah.
You experience the benefits of the cause, and you realize it's an amazing cause, and it's one of those things that, like I said, as soon as I did it and went through it, I want to be a part of it for a long time. You know, one of the other benefits that this tournament provides is the direct help, not to the hospital, but to the families, and the families going through it, and the little costs you don't think about, the parking, the car seats, the stuff for families that just can't afford it, and even for families that do, because when you're going to a NICU and you're spending – 8, 10, 12 bucks a day on parking for two parents 30 days in a row, it adds up quick. And so for people with means, for people without means, it is an amazing load off your shoulder to know that you're not just worried about – you can focus on your kids' well-being and not the financial aspect of
it. Yeah, absolutely. And we can always use more players, right? So next year, you're sitting out there right now in your car and you want to play next year. Like, I mean, you don't have to have horrible pants like you two are wearing, but you can wear, you know, some bad pants, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a lot of teams that, and you see them every year, they wear the same, their same outfit,
yeah.
And it's the only time they'll ever wear it because their wives won't let them take it out except for today.
Right.
But you see, listen, it has grown so much, but you always could use more players, right?
Yes.
What's the website?
Badpantsopen.com.
Oh, that's complicated.
Very.
Badpantsopen.com. Sign up now because how many players we got this year?
340 plus.
Gosh, oh my goodness!
Three courses.
Yeah, and 7 million 20 years. You're talking about $300,000 a year. Their tournaments don't make that anymore, Moose. I don't know if you know that.
I think the average run rate on a tournament's about 10 years. We're 21 now,
yeah.
And hope it goes 35. Who knows?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, this isn't going away because of the hard work that you guys put into it now, and you guys are committee members forever. You've been on it forever, and now Adam and guys will just. Pick up. And Les Fox is another story, just like yours, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, his daughter and RBC is a big part of this.
Correct.
Right. So, and they sponsor it, but, you know, Wes had his daughter, who now works
twins.
There.
Yes.
Twins.
Yeah.
And one of them works there now. She's
yes.
in the PR department.
Yeah.
What a great story. What a great. Maybe your twins will work there someday.
I hope so. We still go to all the reunions. We still have friends that somehow end up in there and we make sure our kids are familiar with the cause and familiar with the organization.
I want to say, for the first time in 21 years being associated with Bad Pants, my wife Lisa's niece Megan and her husband Steven had a baby boy, Blake, in Austin in February of this year. And 24 hours of being born, he was life-lighted that night, actually, to the cardiovascular at Texas Children's, and the next morning he had open heart surgery at 24 hours. Pulmonary veins weren't attached correctly to the right side of his heart, and what a scary deal for the parents and for Lisa and I. They were able to stay with us for weeks, and at 4 months he had a second surgery to completely repair. So within 4 months he had two open heart surgeries. 8 months old today, and he's just a bouncing baby boy, and I promise you they saved his life. And that's affirmation for me on why I have given 21 years of my life to Texas Children's, and I will do it till the day I am no longer here.
It paid off. Just that yeah. paid off after 21
yeah.
years
yeah.
that you were able to help out like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Family member. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Really appreciate it, guys.
Moose Rosenthal,
for y'all being out here.
Adam
really.
Law, so great.
Thank
Badpantsopen.com. Badpantsopen.com. Come play next year. It's the best event. It's the premier event, golf event in the city of Houston right now. We appreciate it, guys. Thanks
Thank
so
you
much.
Guys.
Thank you so much for being here. There it is, right here on ESPN 97.5. And we're glad to be great to be a part of it right here. Great to be a part of it. All right. I gotta talk right now about 4hymns.com, 4hymns.com. If you're looking for a great way, listen, ED's a problem, and it's not just because you're old, all right? It's because, you know, just stuff happens. And for whatever reason that it is, you might need help with that. And it's such a pain and so expensive. I mean, go to the doctor, get the prescription drugs. I don't know if you know what these pills are worth right now, but it's pharma. So if you have a pill that everybody wants, they're going to charge you through the yin yang, right? They're gonna just kill you on the price. Well, that's not the case. How about the generic equivalent of it that you can get at 4hims.com? Not only is it not expensive, it's $5 for the first month. $5 for the first month. And you're talking to a doctor online. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. You don't have to pay for that doctor fee. $5 for the first month. 4hims.com/John5. 4hims.com/John5. While supplies last, get it now. The generic equivalent is going to be the same. You're going to get the same great results. 4hims.com/John5. With the same old lease and lazy eye, vex to rest on you.
Yo, I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew. And we gon' show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red and I cannot get them off. You can catch me in my coat eating Hot Cheetos and Takis.
Just a quick reminder that Hot Cheetos and Takis took down Lil Xan, a mumble rapper whose name is based on Xanax. He was felled. You don't know how weak ass these rappers are. They were, these mumble rappers are. He was literally felled by Hot Cheetos and Takis.
He's weak.
To say he's weak is an understatement.
Stop.
He is softer than two plies of toilet paper. Not even three, than two. Le'Veon Bell could be going to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Steelers are so down with James Connor right now that I think they're going to consider. And now Jay Ajayi is hurt, obviously, with the Eagles. The Eagles weren't in love with their running back situation anyway. They need something. That team is in a funk right now. 2-3, Super Bowl hangover. It's not great for them. That could be the team that says, you know what, let's make a move for Le'Veon Bell and let's pair him with Carson Wentz. Because they're going to have Carson – well, they're not going to have Carson Wentz cheat much longer, I guess, actually. This is year three for Carson Wentz. So in another, do I have him cheap this year? Do I have him cheap next year? I guess they could have him cheap for year, relatively cheap, and still give him the extension in year five. So they don't spend a ton of money at wide receiver. And Alshon Jeffrey could be, you know, within 2 or 3 years they could just get away from Alshon Jeffrey. So that might be the team that says, you know what, let's go get the running back. Let's pay for running back, and let's go make a move for this year to get back where we need to.
I'm not going to take anything away from their championship season last year, because they deserve it. They won, and they had to beat the Patriots to do it. And they had to take, you know, Tom Brady's 500 yard performance and overcome that. And they had to do it without their quarterback. And they did, you know, and they were really good. But everybody came in. Oh well, look at that division. There's not a winning team in that division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're not going to beat, like, you can win your division. They're not playing. Well, that's one of the reasons I think Le'Veon Bell could happen, is because of you look at that division, you need one guy who's making plays. I'm not sure Carson Wentz is back to where he should be physically anyway. So go put the ball in Le'Veon Bell's hands.
Yeah.
It would, depending on, because look, Le'Veon Bell's not going to be a long-term Steeler.
You don't want him for the Texans. Good for you. Congrats.
I mean, he's fine. You know what they would want? A first-round pick. They don't want Jadeveon Clowney. They want a first-round pick. You want to give that up again? Are we giving up more first-round picks, John?
Yeah.
You give up a first-round pick for a running back? No way.
I'm not.
They got to get corners and tackles. No, Dale, not win.
Okay, you know, if you knew the one running back was going to be as good as Le'Veon Bell?
No, they need tackles.
What are you talking about?
You're going to get him killed.
Okay,
get
Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott.
He can't
they
block.
They were second pick and fourth pick.
Great, block somebody. Ezekiel Elliott couldn't do anything about us getting after
him. Oh, how's Saquon doing?
Saquon's fine. How good
is that
team?
You need to block people. I don't think there's any question about that.
They can't
block people. But you also got to have a people.
They can't block, you also have to have playmakers. You can find running backs.
Teams with run.
You know who else is good?
Oh, really? Todd Gurley is a guy they found.
You can find running backs.
And you know what they did? They found Andrew Whitworth in free agency.
They found Arian Foster, too.
Is that so? The best in the game right now? Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell.
Get a tackle. They're hard to find. Tackles are super hard to find.
Oh, if you draft Andrew tackle, Whitworth they found in free agency.
Andrew Whitworth is a free agent who had already been a Pro Bowler for years, and they let
him
walk.
No, everybody said he wasn't. No, you
can't
get him.
They can say whatever they want. He was a longtime starter. That's totally different. You want to keep rolling with Julian Davenport, Chantrell Henderson. Rankins isn't even a tackle. That's a bleak. I'm going to just say the S word in a second.
No. Because
now you're making me mad. This is a terrible offensive line. You should be arrested and prosecuted for ever saying that Deshaun Watson is good with these tackles.
You know what's going to take a lot of pressure off? A running game. Going to take a lot of pressure.
Deontay Foreman says hi.
Where? That's from his funny. Hospital bed?
No, he's back.
Oh, is he?
Deontay's back, folks. Texas is back.
Texas is back, folks.
Literally, Deontay Foreman.
Deontay Foreman's not
coming in with the cape to save the day.
Stop. Yep. Stop already.
Recognize.
Go get playmakers.
Recognize.
You know what?
Foreman strikes
teams
as a
win
playmaker.
With playmakers.
You hated
Brandon Cooks.
Hated on Will Fuller first.
Robert Woods.
Now you're hating on Deontay Foreman.
Cooper Kupp. Todd Gurley.
Cooper Kupp won the first. Robert Woods won the first.
No, I'm not
those guys.
I didn't say go get a first round. Why?
You know what you need?
You already got him. You already got DeAndre. You already got Will Fuller. You already got two firsts.
You know what? I guess you don't like Orlando Pace or Jonathan Ogden first-round tackles.
Lance.
I guess you don't like that.
Who are the best offensive players on the Texans, and where are they drafted?
First-round guys, because the Texans only hit on first-rounders.
So their best offensive players are first-round picks, correct?
Yeah. Under Rick Smith, yes.
Yes. So a first-round pick for an elite running back.
32.
Well, we'll see. I don't know what Brian Gaines – well, we'll see. So far, it's not been bad. First round pick for Le'Veon Bell. If that's all it took, you're not down.
No. Le'Veon Bell has like 13,000 carries.
That's
already.
Not true.
Le'Veon Bell's had a ton of touches.
Well,
that is true. Some alien is around. It's hovering around.
No, Le'Veon
Lance.
Bell's had a ton of touches. In real life, I would tread very lightly with you. Are going to pay him? He's already turned down $13 million a year. You are going to pay Le'Veon Bell an enormous amount of money, and you are not getting a brand new, fresh Le'Veon Bell. You're getting somebody who has some tread off the tires. That's just the truth. I mean, you can't continue to be blind to the history of the position with touches.
In 2015, he played six games. I don't know which injury it was, so his touches were down. He's not going to play the full season this year as well. So he's probably as far as when you got him. He would probably miss an entire season of touches. So I get what you're saying. He's at 1229 right now. And I guess that won't increase until, week 8? When is he planning to return?
Well, we'll see if it changes. I mean, if they trade him, maybe that could change. But it was going to be after the bye week, I think. But that could change if you trade. From a touch standpoint, because he also has a ton of receptions,
I'm looking at that. That's 312 in receptions.
He's had over 1,500 touches in 5 years, and obviously none this year. And he missed a portion of he's missed 11 games in 15, 4 games in 16, a game last year. He will have missed time this year. What will he be? What is he right now? 26 years old? I think it's a good move for a lot of teams. I just think if you're the Texans and they want a first-round pick, you can't possibly do that. Now, if they want a second-round pick, yeah, I would absolutely do that. You want Clowney in a second-rounder? Oh, I might do that. I might do that too, although it is a little nerve-wracking to think that J.J. Watt is – he's got good stats and everything.
But Clowney JJ's, and a second-rounder? Wow.
Clowney in a third?
That's a little much.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah.
You can't go overboard with running back unless you're in a win now mode. And I just don't think the Texans
win, Lance.
I think you're kidding yourself if you think the Texans are a running back away.
Well,
I mean, they are terrible at tackle and they are terrible in the secondary.
But I want the best running back playmaker in the game.
I think right now
that's the best running back playmaker in the game.
I don't care. You need five players in your secondary and offensive tackle. You only get one.
And suppose you miss on that offensive lineman.
But you have to get five.
Suppose you miss.
You just have to get five.
Well, you're only giving up one pick.
You can find good running backs. It's not hard to find good running backs.
And if they miss on this first, because you know what, Brian Gain, I don't know how good he is in the first round. You know what? Get Rick back here.
You want to shut up. Finding tackles is really hard to do outside of the first 40 picks. It's really hard to do. There's a lot of – you know what you end
don't
up
worry.
With? Julian Davenport. I mean, that's what you end up with. You really need to draft tackles early to find tackles that are good.
Great.
I don't care about boring. No. Show me winning team. You know what? Mm-hmm. The teams who draft for flash and dash.
Yeah. Oh, what the Cowboys do. Constantly. First rounder, 3 years. How they doing? Texans beat them. That's how crappy they are.
And you know, and
we look back at the fourth pick.
Well, we look at the Cowboys. Yeah. Where are all their weapons? Where are all the Cowboys' weapons for that great offensive line? Where are all their weapons?
Oh,
well,
Martin.
They didn't.
Oh yeah, where are their weapons? That? Martin, Tyron Smith,
so you
Travis Frederick.
They were just fine when they made Dak Prescott look like a good quarterback
for a season. What does he look like now?
Yeah, he looks like.
You know, Tyron Smith, a big part of that Dallas, a big issue with Dallas right now is Tyron Smith went from being a dominant left tackle. He hurt his back. The other day, I focused on him a few times. I'm like, oh, my God, this isn't the same guy. I don't know. I wonder if they're talking about that in Dallas because he is not moving the same way he used to. He didn't look like the same player.
You know what they're
That's
talking
a major
about
issue.
Dallas? The Rockets.
They should be because they might as well come get some of our team. I mean, you don't have a team over there that you're going to be proud of. We do. Unfinished business. When I was driving here, I saw the Chris Paul and James Harden billboard, and it said unfinished business. And that's exactly what this year is for your Houston Rockets. It is unfinished business, and they want you to be part of it this year. Every year they have a new slogan. They have a new theme. They're still running as one. But they want you to come take advantage of the awesome Fan Fest. Let's start off with what's going on this week. Fan Fest this Sunday, October 14th, 2 to 5 p.m., Kima Boardwalk, Power Dancers, Clutch, Mario Ellie, Cheryl Swoops, live music and giveaways. Then on Monday, it's going to be Drive Up Car Decal giveaway from 7 to 10 a.m. on Monday at Toyota Center. You drive up Polk Street, and you can stop, and they will bring you receive your free Rockets car decal courtesy of Toyota with many of the same Rockets legends and Power Dancers and Clutch all on board then. Now you got the team shop opening on Tuesday, October 16th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. First chance to purchase 2018-19 Rockets products and merchandise, and Rockets player autograph session is going to be taking place as well. And you've got opening night versus New Orleans presented by Toyota Wednesday, October 17th, 4:30 p.m. Budweiser liftoff party starting at 4:30. You've got games, you got prizes, face painters, and the first 3,000 people in the door are going to receive a James Harden MVP bobblehead. So much going on. Go to Rockets.com to see all next week's entire setup. But now is your time to jump on board with the next great Houston team and their unfinished business. It's your Rockets. Go to Rockets.com.